February is the month of love. Now, why is February the month of love? Valentine's Day. I can't hear you. The music's too loud. Why is February the month of love? What is Valentine's Day about? Love. It's a holiday, right? Do you get to go? You have to go to school, right? Do you get off for Valentine's Day? So it's really, what kind of holiday is that if you have to go to school? Don't need music during my message. Thank you.
You do go to school on Valentine's Day, right?
So what kind of holiday is that? It's a weird one. It's a lame one. What are there some other things about Valentine's Day? You're supposed to give presents. You pass around these worthless paper cards with things printed on it. I think I have one here somewhere. Here it is. Yes. This says Happy Hug Day. I don't know. I guess that's Valentine's Day. Maybe in Bikini Bottom, it's Happy Hug Day. Maybe that's what they celebrate instead of Valentine's Day. You guys pass these out? You do? Andrew gave me one a couple years ago, and I'll never forget it. That was the best Valentine's Day ever. It was just appreciation. I mean, I'm not going to tell them about all the hearts that were on it. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's a joke. So what do? We pass out, what else do we pass out? Chocolate? Here's some chocolate. Here, happy Valentine's Day. Here's some chocolate. Flowers? That's kind of weird, right? Hey, here's some stuff I like found in the dirt. You mean so much to me. I'm giving you chocolate and this paper thing and this stuff I found in the dirt. What else? You give out those good candies that taste like chalk, right? These things. You guys like these, sweethearts? They kind of taste like a mix between Pepto-Bismol and chalk. So I guess if you were sick, and like the only other time of year you could get that taste was maybe if you were like had a stomach ache. And you were also having to write out, like, something on the chalkboard over and over. And, like, you drank some Pepto-Bismol, and then the chalk fell into your mouth somehow at the same time. That would be what these things taste like, right? Okay. You get to go to websites. Have you seen these websites, like Love Calculator? Yeah? You go there, and you type in your name. Like, my name is Matthew Bell. And then you type in, like, the name of, like, your girlfriend, or in my case, like, my ex-girlfriend from when I was 16 years old. And apparently, we had something going there because we had, like, 95% success rate, which I'm pretty excited about that, not really. So I'll be calling her tomorrow and seeing what we can do about that. We have a weird mascot. What's our mascot for Valentine's Day? Cupid, right? Like a little boy that has no clothes, blonde hair, and he shoots arrows at people. What's up with this? What does this have to do with love? Like, have you ever thought, like, what it would really be like if there was really a Cupid that shot people with arrows? If there was this real guy, okay, sitting around on a hill, playing a harp, and shooting arrows at people. Can you guys imagine how insane this would be? If you can't imagine how insane this would be, I found a video of it, and I'd like to show it to you real quick. Thank you. So, yeah, there we go. I found that online. YouTube, that's the power of YouTube. So why do we use all these crazy things to represent love? Well, what's the deal with that? I don't know. Hopefully that wasn't too violent for you guys. I mean, you've seen Gladiator and all these other things, so... What other symbol do we use to represent love? Like, they're probably pasted all over the walls at your school. Hearts. The heart. Right? Now look at this heart. Isn't it nice and pretty? Pink and red, all these beautiful colors. You've probably seen lots of hearts. It's got such a nice little shape, right? Why do we use the heart to, like, represent love? Have you ever heard phrases such as, if you're going to have a serious talk, what are you going to have? You're going to have a heart-to-heart, right? You ever heard that? We had a heart-to-heart. Or maybe a... If you're really grateful to somebody, it's like, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. What's another one? I don't know, whatever. Anyway, we use the heart as kind of like the center of our emotions, right? Our physical heart is right here somewhere in the center of our body. And what does it do? It pumps. What does it pump? Blood, which is sends life, right? To the rest of your body. If you have poor circulation and your body's not getting the blood it needs, it's going to die. So the heart is really the center of the matter when you get down to it. And so we use the heart to kind of represent our emotions and the center of our being. We use it. It stands for our moral and spiritual, the intellectual part of a man. It's the seat of a man's conscience and his life. So the question I want to leave with you and ask you guys tonight is this question. Is your heart right? Is your heart right? Now I've got some good news and some bad news for you, okay? Which do you want first, the good news or the bad news? Okay, good, because that's how it goes in my outline. Great. I was hoping you would say that. Now what does the Bible say about your heart? The book. You guys have Bibles? Anybody have a Bible? Who has their Bible here? Let me see the Bibles in the house. Yeah, we got some Bibles here. The Bible's the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about our hearts? It's sinful. The heart of man is sinful. Proverbs 6:18 tells us it's full of evil imaginations. All the wicked and evil imaginations that men have thought of over the years, all the imaginations that Hitler had, all the imaginations that bin Laden thought of, bringing down the towers, where do those come from? They came from his heart. The heart is evil. It's desperately wicked, the Bible says. When God looks down at our heart, he doesn't see something good. He sees something that's evil, that's wicked. And this is how God sees you. If you haven't been saved, when God looks down from heaven and you haven't been saved and you've got evil things in your heart, he sees down deep into who you really are. Now, on the outside, we might have it all together, right? We might do the right things. We might say the right things to make people think that we have it together, that we've got it, you know, all right. But deep down, God sees that we really don't. He sees our heart. And when God looks at the heart, he says in the Bible that it's desperately wicked. He says that all have sinned. Nobody in here hasn't sinned before. Nobody. If you act like you haven't, you're not really fooling anybody. Matthew 5:18, Jesus says that our hearts are far from God. He says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Think of all the people in youth groups around the world tonight, or in churches around the world on Sunday, who come to church, who sing songs, they pay God lip service, but deep down, as soon as the sermon starts, they're thinking about the game that they need to get home to. They're not really thinking about God. Deep down in their heart, They're far from God. They might come to church. You might come to church. Hey, I go to church on Wednesdays. Hey, I come to church on Sundays. You're paying God lip service, but deep down, your heart is far from him, just like Jesus said. Now, what's the number one thing, the number one thing that keeps people away from God? What's the number one sin that keeps people from God? Pride. Pride is the number one thing that'll keep people from God. Why? Because we don't like to humble ourselves. We don't like to admit, I screwed up. We don't like to admit that God's word is right about our hearts. We don't like to admit that we have sinned. We don't like to confess that we're sinners. Why? Because we're all egotistic, right? Like, who would just love to stand up on their chair and, like, tell us the last sin you just committed? Anybody? Any takers? No, of course not. Because we're prideful. Not because I want you guys to do that. I'm not going to point at people and be like, hey, tell me your sins. That's not what the point is. The point is that we don't like to humble ourselves before God. But his word says that we must do that. Otherwise, we won't be saved. The only way you can get to heaven is by humbling yourself before God. But we don't like to do that. And so what do? We rebel. Jeremiah 5:23 tells us that the heart is rebellious. Now, how does that show up in our daily lives? How does a rebellious heart show up? We rebel against God. We get selfish. What do we say? I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. I'm not going to have anybody dictating me rules about my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't need God to tell me how to live. I've got it all figured out for myself. All this God stuff, that's a load of crap. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's rebellion. That's what God says is in your heart. Then we have other people who carry problems and burdens and they're going through things. And what do? They'll turn everywhere else they can but to God. They'll turn to therapists, to psychiatrists, to psychologists, to their friends, to Dr. Phil, to Oprah, to Tony Robbins, to whatever. They'll turn to anything they can to keep from having to go to God. But then God will finally bring them to a place where they can't resist anymore. Jeremiah 17:10 tells us that God alone searches our heart. Only God knows what's in your heart. When God searches your heart, what does he find? Does he find somebody like David? Somebody who had a heart after God's own heart? Or does he find some other stuff? So I've got some good news for you. That was the bad news. The good news is found in Ezekiel 36:26. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, wouldn't you like to have a new heart? Wouldn't you like to have new power and strength? Wouldn't you like to have a new heart that is full of godly morals, that will stand up, that will withstand temptation? Wouldn't you like to have a new relationship with Christ tonight that can carry you above the temptation, that can carry you above life's problems? God can come in and do some spiritual surgery on you guys tonight. It doesn't take very long. You say, well, how long does it take for me to get a new heart? It doesn't take long at all. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is say, God, I want a new heart. God, take this heart of stone out of me. This heart of stone that doesn't pump blood. This heart of stone that is not full of life. Give me a new heart of flesh that put life in the rest of my body. Now, this will cost you something. It doesn't come cheap. It costs God his son And it cost Jesus his blood. And it's going to cost you your sin. If you want a new heart tonight, it'll cost you your sin. You have to deny yourself. Paul talks in Galatians that we have to take up our cross daily. We have to die to the things of the flesh. We have to die to sin. We can't say, God, I want a new heart, but you know what? I'm going to keep looking at that stuff on the internet. That's what it's about. You know, I love you, Lord, but I'm still going to fool around with my girlfriend because it's Valentine's Day. That's where we're at. And you're not going to get a new heart with that kind of attitude. You have to humble yourself before God. You have to agree with what his word says about your heart. You have to say, you know what, God, you're right. My heart is full of garbage. My heart is full of filth. But I want that new heart tonight. I want you to put a new heart in me. You have to agree with this word. So is your heart right tonight? Is your heart right? I'm going to ask Stephen to come play his fiddle here. I'd like everybody just to take a couple seconds and close your eyes. Yeah, we're going to close our eyes. Let's do that. Let's close our eyes. I don't want anybody looking around tonight. There's only two people who know the state of your heart, and that's you and God. And you can be honest with yourself, and you can be honest with God, and admit that you've got some stuff in your heart that you need some surgery. You've tried to get it out on your own, and you failed. You need his help. You need his new heart in you. Is your heart right tonight? Is your life right tonight? I'm going to ask those who would be bold enough, with everybody's head bowed and everybody's eyes closed, if you're bold enough to admit to God, to humble yourself, to put your own wants and desires away, to put your own ego aside, to get serious with God, to get serious with Jesus tonight. If you're bold enough and you want it bad enough, I want you to just stand up right now. There's some things in your life and some things in your heart that you know shouldn't be there. And you're tired of acting like everything's all right. You're tired of acting like everything's okay. You're tired of trying to do it on your own. You want God's help tonight. You know, earlier we sang a song that said, I can't do it on my own. And that's really the attitude that we've got to take if we're going to beat this stuff. Because we can say a prayer, and that's what I'm going to do in a little bit. I'm going to lead you guys in a prayer. But if we don't change our attitude, it's not going to mean anything. You have to get down to the heart of it. You have to get down deep. And let God do a deep work in you. Otherwise, it's just going to be the same thing over and over again. So, Lord Jesus, we humble ourselves before you tonight. Lord, I pray that you would deliver people here who are in bondage. Lord, those of us who are bound by sin, I pray you would break those bondages. You would break those chains off of our lives right now. Lord, I pray for others who are stuck in they feel like they're stuck in relationships, God, that they can't get out of. Lord, I pray that you would just bring closure to those things, these harmful things in our lives. Lord, I pray for those who are angry with their parents or angry with their grandparents. Lord, they might be acting out against them. Lord, I pray for a peace to come into their lives tonight. Lord, I pray for each one of these young people here tonight who are taking a stand for you. Lord, they're humbling themselves before you tonight. Lord, they're admitting that they've been wrong, that they've been doing wrong things. God, I pray you would honor tonight their humbling of themselves in Jesus' name. Let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I humble myself before you. I can't do it on my own. My own strength isn't good enough. My own heart is so full of sin. It's so full of things that don't please you. God, I ask right now that you take out that old heart and put in a new heart. Put in your heart tonight. Lord, thank you for saving me. I thank you that I am your child, that you have a plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I just want to encourage you guys to keep walking in that commitment that you've just made with Jesus. You know, I realize that most of us here have probably said the sinner's prayer before, but I feel like God wants to do something deep in you guys. A deep work. And so continue on in that. You know, if that means reading your Bible tonight, if that means telling a friend what you were praying about tonight so they can pray with you, do it. Go for it. But continue on. Don't just stop here. Continue moving forward and pressing closer to Jesus. All right? All right. Awesome. Do we have any new people here tonight? Anybody here for the first time? We have some first-timers here. All right. Awesome. Yeah, give our first-timers a big hand. I'm going to come over here with the mic. Can we introduce you guys? Would that be okay? Yeah? Okay. Can you tell us your name? Are you guys twins? Really? Dude, am I on or what? Okay. What's your name?
Priscilla.
Priscilla and?
Melissa.
Priscilla and Melissa. And how old are you guys?
16.
16. You're both 16? Of course, because you're twins. So how long have you been twins?
Since we were, like, born.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So does that work out pretty good?
For the most part. Yes, it does.
Do you finish each other's sentences?
All the time.
Oh, yes. Okay, Priscilla and Melissa, give them a big hand. And is this your guys' first time? I've met you before, right? Yeah, what's your name?
Jonathan.
Jonathan and?
Brandon.
Brandon? Awesome. How old are you guys?
17. 14.
17 and 14. And where do you go to school?
Clark Hobby.
Clark and Hobby. Where are the Clark heads in here? We got any Clark people? Right here, right here. All right. So you Clark guys, you need to go meet Jonathan, all right? That's all I have for you guys. Do we have small groups on Sunday? We have small groups on Sunday. High school small groups at Marissa Rogers. Marissa, stand to your feet. Awesome. So if you need directions, go see her. And so if you're in high school, we'd love to have you out this Sunday afternoon at 6 p.m., okay? So go with God and all that good stuff, and we'll see you Sunday. Yeah.